All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, the podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris. I'm your host, podcast pal. And with me here today is my friend of some number of years, 13-ish, I believe. You will have, by the time you hear this, you will have already heard us previously on the other show, I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, where we talked about Mortal Kombat Annihilation. So this is my friend Caroline.
Hi.
You guys can reference that other episode if you want more of the backstory on
on
what her deal is, on what's wrong with her.
Yeah, there's a lot. Take notes.
Yeah, I assume that anytime anyone listens to the show, they are always like taking like meticulous notes about the lives and interactions between me and the characters that come on the show.
Yeah. Like, how much baggage do people have? I guess I don't feel so bad anymore. That's why we're here.
Just to talk about our baggage?
Just so people don't feel like they are the only ones with baggage.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is jumping back to the Mortal Kombat thing for just a second, but there have been people have, like, tweeted at me to say that they have thought about how, like, when they were feeling like their day was going bad, and then they would see me tweet about that I was watching this movie for the however many times, you know, hundreds of times.
It's not as bad as that guy.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? At least I haven't been watching that movie for 150 days in a row, you know, or whatever the number was when it, you know, when they saw it. But I kind of like that aspect of it, of that thing of being able to go like, hey, guys, look at, it's not so bad.
You're not insane.
No, yeah. No matter how bad your day is going, just imagine that you were having like a super terrible day, like I have had some of in the past year, or, you know, almost year. And then on top of how bad my day was going, then before I could go to bed, I had to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation. You know, the day that Roxy died, I still had to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation. You know, the day my grandmother died.
Oh, God.
I still had to watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I think that's a lesson in the fact that, like, the wheels keep turning and you can't stop.
Yeah. And I,
even when you want
to. To be totally honest, and I've kind of tweeted as much on some of those, like, really bad days. Even though the movie is awful, there was, like, some kind of, like, comfort in the routine.
Yeah.
Of
the
going,
consistency,
like,
of it all.
Yeah, of going, like, okay, this feels awful, but this is consistent.
This feels normal and right.
This is like a constant. I'm starting to get scared of what's going to happen when I don't have to watch it anymore. Where I'm like, what if I just can't function
right
as a person anymore when I stop watching this movie?
Right.
When we get to day 366 and it's like, what do I do?
Right.
And then I just shut down and become a crazy person that just keeps watching it every day for the rest of their life. Any hoodles, but that's not what we're
right.
here to talk about.
Buffy!
We're here to talk about Buffy. Now, my background with Buffy, I'll just say real quick, is I watched it like from when it started for the first like two or three seasons, maybe.
But you didn't finish.
No, I didn't. Back then, because
a lot of people didn't finish.
Yeah, you know, I stopped watching as much TV and I was starting to date real girls instead of pretending I was dating Buffy, instead of just being obsessed with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Well, you know,
once you start like going, oh, a real girl will talk to me. Oh boy. I don't have to watch so much television. Or it's like, I don't have to watch so much television alone. And then, you know, they want to watch something else and you're like, sure, whatever you want to watch. But I think Buffy was kind of partly, you know, off my radar for quite a while until you and I started going out and you were like super into Buffy. Mm-hmm. Was Buffy over when we started going out?
It had ended. It ended in 2002.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. 2002. It was the, no, 2003. Sorry.
Okay.
It was the spring after I graduated from college.
Okay. And you, okay. So now that's my background with Buffy, but so now what was your background with Buffy?
I did not start watching it until my senior year in college. So I finished the series. Now, I hadn't seen the whole series entirely because I missed some of it in between. And I started watching it when it came on syndication on FX.
Right.
It would come on at 5, I think.
Sure. That sounds right.
And it would.
I remember it being on like in the afternoon.
And there would be 2 episodes in a row. And that's when all of my housemates, we would all get home and we would all watch Buffy and eat Pizza Hot Pockets and those Loft House cookies that you get at Walmart.
Absolutely.
I gained like 20 pounds by literally just watching Buffy with my roommates. But yeah.
I don't think the watching Buffy was the problem.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was just watching Buffy eating Hot Pockets and cookies. It was amazing. It was delicious. Also drank a lot of Zima that year too. It was my foray into alcoholic beverages, in quotation marks.
Sure.
But then, so I was watching it in syndication, and it was kind of out of order. Like, I didn't come in
on it.
And I remember
I was going to ask if it was one of those shows where they showed it, like, just, it was always, like, in chronological order, or if they just kind of showed it randomly.
I feel like they showed it randomly, because I feel like I was real confused. Like, I had missed some stuff, or maybe I just missed some stuff, and, but, yeah, I was like, how come there's two Slayers? Like, I didn't know, but it's because I didn't see the first season first.
Right.
And I think maybe, and actually that fall it came out on DVD for the first time, and I found it at Best Buy, and I was like, it's only like 12 episodes, so it was like 15, but it was cheap or something. And I was like, whoa, I'm buying this. And then I went back and watched the first season, and I had already invested in the characters.
Yes.
So I could see, I was like, wow, this is cheesy. And the what, there's somebody just like clanking on a piano in the background, and that's like that's the music, that's the soundtrack, because I was used to, you know, like a whole orchestra,
yeah,
you know, and the, like a Buffy's mom theme and Buffy's home theme and like the Willow and Oz theme, but yeah, so I went back and watched the first season. But I mean, and I think it is important, but I don't think you have to start with it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it's one of those, like, for me, I'm one of these people who when I, you know, like, get into a show, or even if I'm like, I'm already really into a show and I've seen all of it, and then I want to go back and watch it again, I can't just like
dip around. If I go back and watch Buffy, which happens after like huge like emotional times in my life,
life
I'm like,
events.
I guess I'm gonna go watch Buffy now. But I always start with season one.
Yeah.
So because.
But I'm one of those people. It's like even when something is. A first season of something is like they have not figured out how to hit their stride yet or whatever.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like too much of a completist, too much of a, like an OCD or something where I'm just like, I have to earn getting to that really good
stuff.
Well,
and when you go back and you look at the first season, you're like, oh, he brings this up again later.
Yeah.
Like it's a larger story for Joss.
So let me ask you this then. For any of our listeners who were born in 1999 and are now in college.
I'm sorry, you're fine.
listeners who are who don't have, say, a connection to Buffy. The reason we talked about this a little bit earlier, not on the show, but part of the thing for this show for me is like talking about the things we love, and like why these pop culture things mean so much to us, and like what it is about them that that speaks to us, that makes them mean more than just other disposable kinds of entertainment. What makes them have the like lasting power and effect that they have on people. What is it exactly about Buffy? Well, first of all, as succinctly as possible, how would you explain Buffy to one of these kids who has never
like
seen
as
it.
A phenomenon, or just as like a television show,
as a television show,
like, and a phenomenon, like, because it is
as a television show first and then as a phenomenon second, I guess.
Okay, well, as a television show, I would say, I mean, it's a hero story. It's the story of a hero, complete with, you know, nerdy friends.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole like, what's that complex that superheroes always have? It's like they're the only ones, and like they're really lonely.
Yeah.
No one, they can really never connect with anyone. But what's different about Buffy is that she seeks out those people, and like she recognizes them early on and is like, these are the people that I can trust because they're weird like me.
It's kind of that same thing, like with Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Which you also are a big fan of.
I am a big fan of Harry Potter as well.
Yeah. And it's also kind of like Star Wars.
Exactly.
Where it's like, oh, Luke, you think your life is just nothing and meaningless. Oh, Buffy. Oh, Harry, your life is crappy.
But really,
you're special.
And that's kind of exciting.
You're the
also,
chosen one.
You're alone. you know, yeah. you have to find a way to not be alone.
Yeah. I think Buffy handles some of those aspects way more so than Star Wars or Harry Potter.
Definitely. Well, because Buffy had a long time.
Yeah. But I mean, Harry Potter had 7 books and 8 movies to try to do it with.
How many? There's 7 seasons of Buffy and 6 of them are complete, 22 episodes, I think.
Sure.
And that's...
You would know better than I. I thought there were like 10 seasons of Buffy.
Seven. Perfect 7. Very biblical.
Okay.
The
I don't know
Earth
why
was created in 7 days.
Right.
The world, you know, because creation is a thing.
Not You're a slayer, Buffy.
The world was created in 7 days also.
They say that in... Well, it was created in 6 days, and on the 7th day...
He rested.
That's one of my favorite parts of Mortal Kombat Annihilation, to jump back to that, is one of the first things Shao Kahn says is, the Earth was created in 6 days, so too shall it be destroyed. And I was like, oh, so this immortal demigod murder man believes in the Bible. Okay.
Thank goodness.
I'm like, and then they're talking about that there's elder gods and such, and I was like, all right, so
that's not in the Bible.
Where does the Judeo-Christian framework I'm familiar with fit into this picture with your Mortal Kombat's? Anywho,
another question for the annals of Mortal Kombat time.
Yeah.
So how would I describe it to kids? So if you're looking, I mean, it's a cult classic, so
sure.
And the things that come along with cult classic is it's gonna be real cheesy some of the time.
Okay.
A lot of times one of the best things about Buffy is that it's tongue in cheek.
Mm-hmm.
So as cheesy as it is, it recognizes that cheesiness, which I think Star Trek was good at, to kind of pick another cult classic.
Sure.
Although people that are huge fans of Star Trek will be like, Buffy has nothing like... And, like, I'm not going to argue with anybody on that.
I think there's plenty of people who are real ride or die for both of those. Like, where they're like, I like both of those things very much.
Right.
Also...
And so, because they're very... I mean, they're the same sort of cultish genre, where it's like, we're doing this thing that is fantasy, sci-fi, whatever.
Got a lot of...
And we're
it's
doing
got its
it,
fingers in a lot of pies.
We're doing it slightly poorly, so we're going to make jokes about that.
Well, it's not even... It's like, you know, you try to make up for those things, and I think this is what really...
We're doing it with a small budget, so we're going to make jokes about that.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say, it's like, I think something that Buffy does very well is that it's like they go, okay, we can't afford to wow people with how big our budget is, how good everything
yeah.
looks, so it's like we have to make this...
Interesting.
We have to make this work... and make it rise above the level of the money we have with the writing.
Right. And one of the ways they do that, I think, is through development of all the other characters. It was probably one of the... I mean, I don't know. TV shows don't do that often. They did it with Star Trek, kind of. But we don't know the...
I think there's lots of shows that have, like, a rich cast of characters that end up getting, you know...
The AV Club would say that the Xander-Harris effect... is one of the things that made Buffy so successful, though, is that they, I mean, everyone was developed so well, and Xander Harris was the only character that didn't have any power,
mm-hmm.
but he did actually, he was the protagonist in one episode. A show about another person entirely, he took the reins, and everyone else was secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Zeppo, which is a great episode, if you're a dude. but you kind of have to know Xander to see that episode, too.
Right.
And that's why I would say you don't have to start with the first season, because you don't really get to know the characters as much until you get through the second season.
Right.
And you see, like, what how they are. And I like the fact... I'm going all over the place. The fact that the second season starts with Buffy kind of being a bitch. and, like, trying to steal Willow's man, you know? Like, even though... You know, and it's like, wait a minute, she's supposed to be a hero, but she's kind of an asshole. But then she's like, sorry for being an asshole. And it's very human.
Yeah.
Also,
just real quick, to succinctly explain the show, Buffy is a show about a girl who kills vampires.
Yes, and there's only one in
every
generation.
You have not mentioned anything
about...
How
would I describe it?
You're like...
Thank you so much for keeping me... I'm like, well, I would call it a cult classic, is what I would call it. How would I describe it? So Buffy is about a girl... And there's only one. There was a movie that came out before it that that Joss was not happy with.
Joss Whedon, she means, who is the guy that wrote...
My buddy Joss.
He's the guy that wrote and...
He created
the character.
Yeah.
And he wrote the movie, and mm-hmm. it got away from him in that he didn't direct it.
Right. And they changed it a lot.
Yeah. But then the show, even though he's a director now, we think of him as a director now, mm-hmm. He
wrote it. The best
show. He wrote and directed the first two Avengers movies, maybe for those of you who are only familiar with him from that. He also was the creator of Firefly.
Yep.
And Dollhouse. Shows you've probably never seen.
And if you
you've seen Firefly probably.
Yeah, and if you haven't, you should stop everything and watch it. It's only 12 episodes, and then there's a movie. It's totally worth it.
Oh, for Firefly? Yeah. I thought you were talking about Dollhouse. I was Dollhouse like, they made a Dollhouse movie?
No.
Did he direct many of the episodes?
He directed a lot, especially like...
Later episodes?
Of Buffy?
Mm-hmm.
He started out directing them, I think.
Hmm.
And then he would let other people do it, but the really important ones, like, let's say, like, Becoming Part 1 and Part 2, which is the last two episodes of the second season, where we learn much of Buffy's relationship, which is her star-crossed relationship with Angel, who got his own show later because of his popularity. But Angel is a vampire with a soul, and Becoming Part 1 and 2 is about both of them and how they became star-crossed. But he writes and directs that one, and... like the ones where they're very pivotal,
mm-hmm.
you'll see if you watch it as often as I do. You'll be like, oh, yep, Joss Whedon directed this one. But I was literally, while you were talking, I realized an episode that I would watch with people that's kind of separate from everything
mm-hmm.
is the one episode that I would recommend. But if you want to get it for all that it is, I have to think of the name of the episode, though.
Okay.
But
keep in mind, if there's ever a point where you do need to take a break to think about something, and it's... I'll probably cut this out.
Fine.
You don't have to be...
It's fine to be like, hold on, I don't think about
it. Yeah, you don't have to be afraid of dead air because I can cut it all out.
Excellent.
But now that I've said that, I'm going to leave it in.
Hooray!
So it's embarrassing.
Hooray! Thanks, Chris. But yeah, she's a vampire slayer. And she has a band of ragtag friends called the Scooby Gang. And she has a watcher that's like an old British librarian dude who's fantastic. And they all just, you know, they have fun adventures together fighting evil.
Until they don't have fun.
Until it's not fun because it's real life and...
everything is terrible.
Joss Whedon's basically like trying to teach his audience. He was like, sometimes you have to grow up and sometimes it really sucks.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, a lot of people didn't like the later seasons because they get a lot more serious.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like the meat of Buffy is. Like. Yeah. You get to know everyone in these fun, lighthearted high school, you know, first year at college sort of seasons. And then all of a sudden Buffy has to get a job. You know, people are dead.
Real life happens.
You know, people are addicted to magic, to the magics. And they have to, you know, sacrifice things. And
Some people get real fat.
Yep. Some people get fat and lose eyes. But you know, life happens, and in most of the interviews about it, Joss is really clear that he's like, oh, it's about growing up and how much it sucks. But yeah, if you've never seen it before, it's a hero show about a vampire slayer.
It was cracking me up how long you were talking about it and the word vampire had still never come up.
Oh, by the way, it's a show about vampires.
Yeah, the show is called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Not just Buffy.
Yeah, not just Buffy. So, yeah, the way I would explain it would be like, yeah, it's a show about a girl who is like a ditzy blonde, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and kind of is, to start
with. She kind of is, but she's not stupid.
She's not dumb, but she's just like...
She doesn't have time for shit.
She's shallow? To begin with. Yeah, she's not dumb, but she's just like, I don't care about... This is not what I'm interested in.
Right. I mean, she's a white girl.
Yeah, she just wants to get on with doing her teenage...
Yeah, she's like, can I just go shopping?
Attractive blonde teenage things. The first season, or the entire series,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it does sort of... It it acts as though the events of the movie happened, right?
Yes.
It's just, it doesn't...
And that she got kicked out of that school, except in the movie she's a senior, but and she starts out in the TV show a sophomore, I think, right? Yeah. And they explain that away as like, oh, it was a junior prom or something, and she set the building on fire.
Yeah.
Which kind of happens in the movie. But yeah, but instead she's not a senior.
Yeah. They make her younger.
Yes.
So that the show can go on longer. Right. Because, what was it? The WB was like, because that's the show, what was originally on. It's like, which you kids would maybe know as the CW now.
Right. The CW.
But the WB was very popular as basically like a new like network for teenagers.
Because mm-hmm.
it was like Buffy and Dawson's Creek.
And Smallville.
Smallville didn't start till 2001, but yeah, I mean,
okay, yeah.
It was very much stuff in that, like, we want the young people.
Yeah.
We want to make these hour-long pseudo-dramas.
Yeah. Geared towards high school students.
Geared towards, yeah, the young people, and that, like, some of them have, like, a premise that's, like, it's, like, the trappings of a superhero or a vampire slayer.
And it's it's... Not for nothing, but most of them feature pretty strong females. And even now at the CW, like, most of their programming is very, like, we're going to have a feminist view of things because I feel like women own those. Do you think women own those companies? I don't know.
No, not at all.
No. Okay.
But I think that it's, like, a lot of those shows, you know, I mean, they know who their audience is. Mm-hmm. And they know that, like, and I think they have the same mm-hmm. viewpoints as, like, no, we are okay with having this Supergirl's mm-hmm. sister be a lesbian and show her having a happy lesbian relationship.
Right.
Like, I watch Supergirl for work
mm-hmm.
and write about it. they pay me to write about Supergirl.
That's cool.
So that's the one that immediately comes to mind as far as, like, a show that... And this week's episode also was, like, clearly very, like, pro... No. I started to say pro against immigration stuff. And I was like, I think you would just say it's anti. It was like very much like all of this immigration stuff that's happening is wrong. Like just grabbing people and deporting them.
Yeah.
Grabbing families and stuff is bad.
And separating them is bad.
Yeah. Stuff like that. But they're doing it through the lens of, you know, like, and there's a person in a cape here.
Yeah. Well, and they're telling the next generation, too.
Yeah. Well, of course, in this...
terrifying to the current powers.
In Supergirl, of course, the illegal aliens are literal aliens.
Right.
You know, they're from space.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like...
Supergirl, isn't she from space?
Yeah, she's from Krypton.
Yeah.
Much like... what's that other guy?
I don't remember. Grimace.
Grimace. Yes, the Grimace. Also from Krypton.
And Superman. That's who... What?
No, that remember? Doesn't sound right.
Batman? Is he from Krypton?
I don't
know. So, Heathcliff from that cartoon from the 80s. That cat, you know?
Heathcliff?
Heathcliff, yeah. No one should terrorize their neighborhood.
Yeah, Heathcliff was also, little known fact, also from Krypton. But... Oh my Sorry. God. I wish you guys could have seen the Popeye face she made when she did that.
All right, I don't know what's happening.
I don't either. This will all be cut out.
But I think that why Buffy is so important... And other people would say this, at least the AV Club would. I read them a lot. But they would
quit
say,
bragging.
I know, guys, I read internet articles a lot. I don't get paid to write them. I just read them and share them on Facebook. And I'm like, this is good. Read it.
Yeah.
And that's how you know I'm smart.
I write articles for websites about mm-hmm. pop culture like that. And then don't share them on Facebook. And then go, it's not, I'm not that good.
Do you write them for the AV Club?
No, it's not for the AV Club. It's for mm-hmm. Comics Alliance.
Oh, okay.
Which is now, you know, it's a comic and pop culture website that's now owned by a conglomerate that owns a bunch of websites,
America,
which is fine.
You know,
well, no, I mean.
They pay you.
Yeah, that's what happens with webs. If a website gets popular, then some
Somebody
bigger company goes
it.
Like, hey,
yeah,
you guys sure are getting a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Can we buy you?
Yeah.
And put more ads on your website? And that's what happens. I write about Arrow every week mm-hmm. for them, which is another one of these CW shows that is...
But Buffy...
Yes.
Speaking of Buffy, anyway, the thing about Buffy that makes it kind of unique is that there had never been a television series entirely about a woman who starts out as a child and becomes a woman, and we see...
What about Mama's Family?
You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but she starts out as a woman, and we see her change.
Uh-huh.
She's not, like, already... Because, you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, a female lead, she is at the pinnacle of who she's going to be.
Uh-huh.
It's a superhero show about a person that is actually experiencing real life.
Mm-hmm.
And she resists her calling, mm-hmm, because she wants to be that girl that...
She wants to go to the mall.
She wants to go to the Bronze
and have a boyfriend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's like, I just want to go to the Bronze. But she can't because she has to live with a giant trunk full of crosses and holy water.
Of vampire murder weapons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She has
to have a British guy constantly telling her,
like,
what
to
do.
You have to do this. And she's like, well,
that is
I don't
the
want to.
Best Giles impression I've ever heard.
You have to do this.
I wish that had been his character.
Puffy. You're a vampire slayer. You have to do this.
So she can't be the normal girl she wants to be.
Right.
She resists it for most,
I feel like, of the series. And even, like, the shit nonsense of giving her a sister in season 5. That is part of more of the resistance.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, here's your normal life, but it's not normal. Your sister's a ball of light that never really existed until now, except you have all these memories of her. And
right.
She's like, why can't I get away from these crazy people? I want a normal life. But now she has to take care of, like, the most annoying human being on the planet. And I think everybody that watched Buffy hated Dawn.
Until... Oh, I mean, I thought people ended up eventually caring about her. I mean, that's kind of my...
No, I don't think so. Maybe they started caring about her in the comic.
Okay.
Season 8.
I felt like I didn't...
I mean,
that last season was rough.
Yeah, it's true. And they all kind of go... Everybody goes through, like the shithole ringer in the 7th season. But not only is it... So, it's important because we as a society don't often see, you know, everything that women go through in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's very select. We, and it's so hard to say things like this without upsetting people, but most of what we see through the media is through the lens of a white male.
Right.
People get mad at me when I say that, and I'm like, I'm not saying that men are the enemy. I'm saying that's the power structure, and that's, you know... Hollywood's complaining about, you know, we don't have enough women directors. Why is that important? Because the director is what tells you what to look at. The director is like, here's my point of view, and I'm going to make you see it. That's literally your job as the director.
Sure.
It's to have a vision for something, and I have a degree in directing that I still don't use. but the director looks at a work and says, this is the story I'm trying to tell. And, you know, like in theater, you set up your scenes so that everyone sees the picture that you want them to see on stage, because the pictures tell stories as well.
Yeah.
And in film and television, every shot you see is what the director wants you to see. So if you think, oh, all the directors of everything are men, we're seeing everything through the viewpoint of men. And if you think that that is the same as it is from women, you're wrong. same
Quit
thing.
Pointing with, at me. I didn't say anything.
You're wrong. And that was kind of the point of the movie tonight. We went to see Get Out, and that was kind of the point of the movie, is that...
Was that people should kill vampires?
Yeah, you should kill vampires.
See, this is the thing. With Buffy, I, you know, and seeing things, seeing more of like what a woman's life is like, until I saw Buffy, I had no idea how much... vampire slaying was involved in women's lives.
So much. Chris,
I really...
Every day. They're jumping out of bushes. They're like, rah, I'm going to take you down, little missy. And you're like, no, you're not. And you got to be funny.
Yeah.
You got to be fast.
Yeah.
You got to know the moves.
Got to hang out in graveyards.
Pretty much.
With an old British guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. You got to have a cast of characters around you.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk to you about Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, you were the person, you know, or one of the people that I think of as being like the people that I know that is like really big into Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show that I really enjoy, like really like, thought was like really special. And especially like seeing what it turned into from when I had stopped watching it and then going and like going, oh my gosh.
You got super deep.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, I probably would not have been able to handle this then, but, mm-hmm. But maybe if I had been like kept watching it, you know, every week,
it would have set you up for it.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, also it's like one of those things, sometimes you're just not ready for something.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's sure. Like there's, I remember really specifically, and I'm only going to tell this story specifically because you know the people and things involved.
Okay.
It's like there was a Not a Surf song, mm-hmm. that Ed tried to get me to listen to, mm-hmm. once. We were like getting off from work or something. And we're going, he's like, oh man, this new Not a Surf album is really good. You got to listen to this. And he tried to let me play. And it's the song was Blizzard is 77.
Great song.
Great song.
Mm-hmm.
Song I absolutely love. And I love that whole album now.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was trying to get me to listen to it, I was like, all I could think about was how much I would rather be listening to Judas Priest right then. Okay?
Okay.
So it's like, I was not ready to hear that song right, mm-hmm. then. It had no effect on me other than to kind of irritate me that it was keeping me from listening to Judas Priest.
Right.
Then like a couple months later, when some things happened in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I went to listen to that, and like I'd gotten that CD because Ed was like, it's really good, you should get it. Or maybe he'd let me borrow it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those things where it's like, then I heard it, and my mind and body were ready for it.
And you wept.
Know? Yeah, and it was just like, oh, you know, this means so much to me now.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's like, sometimes I get frustrated when you want to share something that's really special to you,
yeah.
with someone. And it's something that like kind of takes an investment. And you're trying to show it to them, and they're like looking at their phone while they're watching.
Yeah.
Or they're, you know,
you're
they're
talking
just...
about me with Mortal Kombat.
No, no, because Mortal Kombat is not special to me. But, you know, when you'd think of, with wanting to do this, I would get a quieter chair for, mm-hmm, the guests.
Mm-hmm.
But nope. That chair is actually quieter than the other one. I put a notorious...
the rolly chair?
Yeah. Well, I put a notorious fidgeter in that chair for an episode.
And he was like...
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, why did I do that? But I didn't even really notice it while we were talking until I was listening to it later. And then it's just, oh no.
Right.
Anyway. So, it's frustrating sometimes when you're trying to let someone in on something that's special to you. And you're like, I really think you would like this. Blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't register with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't click for them, or they're just like, they're not into it because, mm-hmm. they're like, Facebook, you know, that can be frustrating, but I also try to like remember that, that thing of like, sometimes people just aren't ready for something.
Yeah.
Sometimes this is, you're hitting them at the wrong time.
And Buffy's really heavy.
Yeah. And Buffy can like, and I think Buffy is one of those things where it's like, you could catch that show completely wrong,
mm-hmm.
and be like, this is dumb. I don't want to watch
this. Yeah, this is melodramatic and annoying.
Yeah. And there's no denying that it is that sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
But,
the end of the fifth season is like, ugh. I mean, like a lot of good things happen. Like the end of that season, you know, there's some good messages there, but at the same time, there's so much like, I don't know if I can be with you anymore conversations where you're just like, can we get on with our lives, please? This is horrible television. Kill some vampires, please.
Yeah.
Last season, you were like fighting the army and like a giant army robot monster. And the season before that, you were fighting like your best hot friend that was also a slayer.
Right.
Like now you're fighting, you don't even fight this girl, you just hear her like bitch about being a god on Earth, and like there's no way you can fight her.
Right.
So, but I mean, the fifth season is important because she comes up against a bad guy that it's like you can't beat her.
Yeah. Which is a metaphor for things in life sometimes.
Yeah, like you can't win this one.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to
figure something else out.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, and another thing I'll say just real quick about the show is like what I think, what made it work. I mean, and you can feel free to correct me or disagree or what, you know, you're free to speak however you like.
Thanks.
is the thing that like, I think the show would have run out of gas really quick if it was just about a teenage girl fighting vampires.
Oh, totally.
And the two things that I think really gave the show like legs or, you know, let it finally like really soar was the idea that Buffy's not just about fighting vampires. It's basically like she's a superhero. She's like, she's just about fighting evil.
It's a hero's journey.
Yeah. And she's like, very quickly, they were
it's
like...
a classic story.
Well, you know, it's like that they do the thing of like, okay, also, here's a werewolf. Also, here's a guy that makes killer robots.
Yeah.
And it just turns that she's got, you know, I mean, the Buffy story is like...
there's always going to be something...
for her to do. Yeah. But it's like... and it doesn't have to be vampire. It could. It doesn't get... because of that, it doesn't get boring. And it's like... there's... you see that it's
sometimes
like...
sometimes the enemy is her.
Yeah. But it's... yeah. I mean, it's kind of like that... you know...
she's
the Buffy,
self-destructive.
The Buffy sort of story could just as easily be like, you know... except for the female aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the thing of like... it's like Spider-Man. It could just as easily be Spider-Man. Where it's just like...
exactly.
This is a character who... has an ability to do something that no one else can.
And he has to live with that.
And has to, like, deal with it.
With
and all
the good and the bad.
Yeah, and it's like, it's really cool to be able to swing around. It's really cool to know
I'm
how
also
to...
also super lonely, and it's my fault my grandfather died.
Or it's his uncle. But
uncle,
anyway.
Sorry, I'm terrible.
But then the other thing is that the show really invested in not just being about her being a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
It was really like, you know, like all the stuff that you've said as far as like, it's like,
about
no,
her
this
being
is...
a woman too.
Well, and about growing up and about relationships
friends
and about,
and
about all these other things. And I think that's the thing that a lot of shows that came up after Buffy and still are coming up that sort of wouldn't have ever happened without Buffy fail to get. They sort of get it on a surface level. They go like, okay, you got to give them a bunch of friends. And you got to make them bad stuff happen. You got to blah, blah, blah. But it's like nothing has the... it's like so many of those shows are missing the soul.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like Joss Whedon always says. People are like, how come you make all these shows about strong females or whatever? And he's like, why do you keep asking me? Like, why are you looking for... like a recipe, like, how do we make stuff about little girls? Are you obsessed with little girls? And he's like, no, I'm obsessed with heroes. I'm just telling one through a woman's point of view.
Yeah.
I mean, his mom was hardcore feminist, so she raised him right. and if you talk to, you know, even scholars that are into Buffy, and they exist. I have a master's degree, okay?
In Buffy?
No, but, you know, I'm a scholar.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
You know, and I could look at Buffy with my scholarly brain.
Right.
And scholarship all over it. But, and also there are special features on the DVDs in season 7 where they talk about the academics of Buffy.
Yeah, I was going to say it now. Did...
it's very specifically feminist, especially in the 7th season. It's like, this is about feminism, like every episode.
What I was going to say is, like, so when you went back and watched, when you said you went back and got that first first season of the DVD, and I know that first season, all the DVDs have, like, commentaries and a bunch of special features and stuff like that. I was going to ask, did going back after you had already kind of gotten familiar with the show, and then seeing that first season, did it also really... did those special features like really play into, and especially since they were recorded well after, or, you know, they were made well after the show had already aired, they were already much further into the series by the time they recorded that. Do you feel like that also helped you kind of get a deeper sense of what was going on in
for
the show?
Sure.
And like,
and also reading interviews with Joss Whedon, because he's always very good about saying, here's what's going on in this episode. Yeah. He's all about like, you know, this is the metaphor.
He's not one of these, writer directors who's like, I want you to get whatever you get out of it.
Right. He's like, no, I'm telling a specific story, and this is how
and
I'm
and if
doing
you
it.
Don't get the message, here's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. He's specific. But I think as a director, there's times where you can be like, you know, take from it what you want to get from it. But I think as a director, when we're telling stories, every story has a message. And if you're a director and you're not telling if you're not trying to get across a specific message, then you don't know what you're doing. There's no direction there.
Right.
So you're taking everyone and saying, here's where we are at the beginning and here's where we're going to be at the end.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Okay, so with, and I'm sorry to kind of keep going back to this, but it does kind of tie in because these, I feel like shows like Supergirl especially, but shows like Supergirl, Arrow, and these other CW shows and stuff like that are direct...
Descendants,
yes,
oh,
of
sure.
Buffy. And, you know, Smallville also, but Smallville wouldn't have happened without Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And those shows, there's so many times where when I'm watching those and I'm having to, I don't get to just watch them for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have to watch them sort of with like a critical mind. And often when we have watched, you know, when like we're writing about these shows and people in the comments get mad because they're like, oh, who cares about that? Like, why can't you just watch it and have fun? Mm-hmm. You know, like they, sometimes people.
Because I spent $30,000 on a master's degree and I'll never pay that back.
You know, it's like sometimes people think that they think that like if you say that something they enjoy, if you point out something that's wrong with something they enjoy, they take it personally. They feel like you're saying you're dumb for liking this.
Yeah.
And I try to always like make a point of saying like, that is not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not what I'm trying to do. It's like, but you do have to remember that sometimes other people watch these things with a different set of eyes than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said is like, so many times when I'm watching these shows, I get really frustrated because I'm like, this just feels like nonsense, or it's just,
because
it feels,
because the director doesn't have a vision.
Yes. And that's exactly it. So often, like, and that's something that I've been.
That's why people like Joss rise to the top,
yeah,
because they are directors with vision and they're not just like, I want to be a director. Let me direct these shows. You
it's
know,
not so like, well, some... I was directing. I directed enough commercials that now I got upgraded to being able to do an episode of
exactly.
The Flash.
I mean, Joss is a creator.
Yeah. And it's like, that's so often what is, even if like the, so even if the showrunners and the writers have some kind of thing that they're trying to work towards, or, you know, they've got some kind of point they're trying to make. If you have a director in there who's like, this is just work for me. I don't care about this show. This is just, they hired me because I can get it done on time and I know how to work with certain special effects and blah, blah, blah. You know.
And those are the guys that direct some of the inconsequential episodes of Buffy too.
Yeah.
Which is why I say like the pivotal, really important episodes are going to be directed by Joss.
Right.
But later on, I mean, he takes on new writers, and I'll have to pause for a minute to look up this one guy that wrote my favorite episode. But
your favorite episode of all time?
Of Buffy.
Of Buffy? Yeah.
Yeah. I have to look up the title of it. It's the one with Anya in the 7th season when she and Buffy have to fight.
Even though they've been friends.
Even though they've been friends because Anya, you know, kills all those frat guys, which, I mean, everybody wants that to happen.
Everybody specifically wants Anya to kill frat guys.
Everybody's like, yeah, those guys. I mean, they did a horrible thing to this poor girl or whatever.
Emma Caulfield is her name?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's a great addition to the cast.
Oh,
like,
I love her
in the
so
third
much.
Season. Yeah,
love
she's
her
fantastic.
So much.
Because,
she's
so I mean,
great.
Because she's also, I mean, everybody in that show is a complete character.
Right.
They have complete arcs. All the women, all the men. It's not, I mean, nobody is shorthanded. Everybody has a history and a life.
And let me ask you this from both as a fan and sort of like from that scholarly point of view.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about the characters on Buffy that makes them feel so three-dimensional? Like, what do you feel like there is? What is that something they have that so many of these other shows don't seem to have, where they get, it's like...
They're completely, like, it's the Xander Harris effect, where if he needed to, he could take one of the characters out and do a show with just them. I mean, Willow goes over to Angel at one point and is on episodes of Angel, separate from the show. They're separate. They're complete characters on their own, but they also need each other.
Right. Like, what...
It's not just like, here's a hot guy, here's a hot girl, how are they going to fall in love?
Yeah.
Which is what most television is.
What would you say... Yes, absolutely. What would you say, then, is like...
Everybody's single, actually, at the end of Buffy, I think. Like, literally. Except for Faith. Faith is the one that's unable to be in relationships, and she's the only one that's not single at the end of the show.
Spoilers, everybody.
Yeah, just so you know.
If you haven't watched the show and thought this would be a good place to jump in and learn about why you should watch it.
Come on. If your whole purpose is to find out who people end up dating, then don't watch Buffy. You're going to be really... I mean, you might be satisfied at some point.
I don't know. I thought that was the whole point of the show, was to find out who everyone ends up dating at the end. That's why I watched 7 seasons of that show.
Me too. And when it didn't end that way, I was like, what the hell? And I flipped a table.
Yeah, I was going to say she did the pantomime for table
no!
flip.
Which is something I've always wanted to do, is just flip a table and walk away.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I think like it's a dream of
everyone. I don't want to walk away. I want to flip the table and revel in it. Like, just yeah.
Yes! And just stand there above it.
I want everyone to just have to stand and take me in as I have just flipped the table right in their faces. What is... I mean... I guess there may be no easy way to answer this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and maybe I am looking for that kind of... I'm looking for an answer that there's no way to, like, give an easy answer for. But it's like... That's what's... It's I struggle with... you know, when I'm talking about these shows, of going like, why do these characters feel just like I have no connection to them?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, is it just that the people are bad actors?
They're not developed.
Yeah. And I go like, sometimes you go like, I don't know. I feel like I know a lot of things about this character,
mm-hmm.
but they still don't feel like mm-hmm. a real person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'll tell you a perfect example. Do you know the webcomic Akewood?
I've heard of it.
Okay. Well...
Yeah, and you've sent me stuff from Akewood. It's the little dog-looking dude, right?
Yeah, they're cats, but yeah. The art is not...
No idea they were cats.
The art is very, very simple and not representational. The art is not the point of that series. Yeah. I mean, eventually the guy that writes and draws it does... I mean, his art does begin to sort of flourish in interesting ways. But the... that is a comic where... Every single character in that comic, and that comic grows to have a huge cast of characters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say huge, but a very large cast of characters. Mm-hmm. And it's like, once you have read that comic for a little while, I don't know how long it takes before it clicks,
mm-hmm.
but suddenly it's like, you just so distinctly hear all of those characters' lines in their voices when you're reading them. And also, like, you can
good
hear...
writer.
Yes. But also, he's got to be insane. Because, like, to have this many voices in your head,
mm-hmm.
where it was like... Also, so he did the comic for, like, a really long, you know, a number, 10 years, however long. And, but also, at different points during that, there was a point where, aside from the comic, each of, like, maybe, like, 12 of the characters
mm-hmm.
also had their own blogs. And... Every one of those was written so indelibly in those characters' voices. And the characters are all...
exercise.
And the characters are all so, like unbelievably different.
Mm-hmm.
Their voices are all so completely different. And they all seem like... He's just writing down what these people say. Like, and he really has all these people trapped in his basement.
Well, and what people say is never what it means. You know what I mean? Like, in reality... When you have someone saying something to someone else, it's not about what they're saying. It's about what they're not saying.
Well,
and a good writer, the only way to know what people are actually saying to each other
mm-hmm.
without saying it is to know who your characters are.
Okay.
And to know what they want.
Right.
I think David Mamet would say...
Get out of my house!
Exactly. Because he's a giant racist. I just kicked it. I kicked it. Is everything... Are you guys
That's
okay?
fine.
Okay. He would say the key to writing, good writing, is to be able to answer the question, what do I want? What happens if I don't get it? And why is it important right now?
So the end point I wanted to make with bringing up Akewood
mm-hmm.
is that those characters' voices are so well-defined that you can... I remember so many times, me and other people, I've been around people where this has happened, people who are also Akewood fans,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, you will hear someone in real life say something, and then you go, that sounds just like something Ray would say
mm-hmm.
from the comic.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, that sounds just like something Ray would say, where it's like, I don't know Ray. You know, I don't know him. How do I know that that sounds like something he would say?
You also felt that way about Buffy characters too, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to just bring up an yeah, instance other than
an
Buffy.
Example.
Yeah, like of maybe something if they haven't watched Buffy. But if they've read Akewood, they probably...
Because we...
They probably watch
But we
Buffy.
Feel for those characters because we know what they want.
But yeah, like how do you make...
Like for how, early on, you know that Xander wants Buffy, but you also know that he can never have Buffy. You know, and that they're
too pudgy.
They're best because he's way too fat. Oh, no.
I've brought that up because there's like, that's like a whole thing. Was like,
he gets older. He gains weight. That's what happens when you get older.
I thought
older.
It was something like, didn't he have like a drinking problem?
He definitely had, but I don't think that really came out until years after. Yeah.
But you were the one who told me about that, so...
Well, he got arrested at a few things, I think.
Okay, we don't have to talk about...
Anyway, but yeah, the guy Xander. That played Xander Harris. But they were so... And Nicholas Brendan, who was a stutterer. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
He was a stutterer, and he used to be like, I was a stutterer, and you can do it too. I don't
you
know.
Can also be have a stutter. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm on a TV show. But
hey, kids, get a stutter, then you can be on TV.
All of those characters have such distinct wants and such distinct desires, you know, and just like us.
Mm-hmm.
And every episode, it's always timely.
All right, everybody, you know what that sound means. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you never played the Zelda games. Or maybe you're used to it being the Super Mario sound. But I wanted to try a different sound this time. Just for fun, you know. I came across that old Nintendo noise and thought, hey, I'll try something different this week. But that was me and Caroline talking about Buffy. And we've got a whole nother episode of us continuing to talk about Buffy. And I hope you're enjoying this one. That's not right. That's not what I meant to say. I hope you enjoyed that one. And then, so hopefully you'll enjoy the next one. Look, whatever, you know what I mean. It's always a hoot to talk to Caroline, and she's a lot of fun to talk to, and she's quite a character, and I think from your response to the episode of I've Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation I did with her, you guys agree. So, and hopefully she and I can talk more about things in the future. Because it's fun when things are fun. Also, you may have heard a bit of... If you listened to the episode, you definitely heard the part where I was talking about doing stuff for Comics Alliance. Which is fun. Because what I was going to say is you may have heard that we all got fired from Comics Alliance a couple weeks ago. When I recorded that with Caroline, still worked for Comics Alliance. Since then, we all got fired. Because the people that run the website, as I talked about, the people that, you know, the bigger people that come in and buy a website and then say, let's put a bunch of ads on it, are also then, no matter how hard you work, no matter how good the stuff you do is, are then the kind of, they can also just go, you know what, we can just turn this website into something that's nothing but clickbait. And everyone's fired. So that's the, you know, that's kind of the price you pay for having a website that gets bought up, does well enough on its own to get bought up. So that's a bummer. But, you know, it's also, I think that some of us will, I won't say some of us, I will say that I hope all of us go on to do bigger and better things. But because of that, I will say that now is probably a great time to remind you guys, if you don't already know about it, about the Patreon. It's patreon.com/thechrishaley. And even if you just want to throw like $1 a month my way, that is super cool. That would be fantastic. It's, man, you know, it's funny how you don't really realize how granular these things are until you start doing something like this. And it really, it doesn't take, you know, a couple people doing a whole lot. If you can just get, a bunch of people to do a little bit, it makes a huge difference. So even if you can only do like $1, that would be super cool. And if you can't afford to throw any more money towards a podcast. Maybe you were already tapped out from Max Fun Drive for Maximum Fun Podcast Network, just happened recently. Maybe you're already tapped out from that. Your podcast donation budget has already been spent. I completely understand. That's okay. These things happen. But if you like the show and you can't give anything to the Patreon, which again, as I said, it's totally okay if you can't. But if you like the show and you can't, maybe just tell a friend about the show. Tweet about it when we have a new episode. Or just tweet about that you like the show. Send people our way. Tell friends. Just tell people. That's the only way these things happen. Word of mouth is the best advertising. So, you know, if you like the show, tweet about it. Send somebody over our way. Tell them to follow me on Twitter. Tell them to follow the show on Twitter. Tell a friend that you know likes the show but hasn't checked out the Patreon yet to go check it out. I'm not trying to guilt you or beg. I'm just telling you, this is a time when it's like, yeah, it's a good idea to go check that out. Because I'm not here to make you feel bad. I am here, well, I mean, with the exception of that episode where I talked about how my cat died. Hopefully that didn't make you feel too bad, though. Yeah, but I'm your podcast pal. I'm here to have fun and talk to you about things we like. And I hope you enjoy it. And if you do, yeah, these are some ways, if you do enjoy it, these are some ways you can help me out. And help the show out. Help yourself out. The better the Patreon does, you know, the better the show does, the more I can justify devoting more and more time to it. So, I'm kind of trying to stall for time while my brain thinks of the other things I needed to talk to you about. I don't know. Anyway, if you're already supporting the Patreon, thank you so much. You folks are the best. There's definitely been some new people added here lately, and you people are great, and can't thank you enough. So, probably nothing else really to say. If you need the links for the show... for all the various things. The website is keepitclosetome.com. That's where all the show notes and everything for all the episodes are. Like I said, the Patreon is patreon.com/thechrishaley. You can follow me on Twitter @thechrishaley. You can follow the show on Twitter @KICTMpodcast. If you've got any questions or concerns or just things you want to talk to me about, something you want to let me know about, just whatever, man. Whatever kind of stuff's on your mind. You want to email the show, it's keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. Those are good. Those are good for the show. That's probably all the stuff, guys. You know the drill. Thank you so much for listening. This has been fun, and I hope that you guys had fun. I say that a lot because I really do hope you guys have a good time listening. So, and thank you for listening. Did I already say that? I probably already said that. It's fine. Guys, look, I don't think I am in tip-top form right now, which makes me think, hey, maybe you shouldn't have tried to record this right now while you've got sleepy brain, but that's okay. The fact that I'm telling you about it is, it's what keeps me honest. I guess, I don't know, guys. I'll see you next time. Be excellent to each other. I'll leave you with this. And she even tweeted about this. She's like, just bought all this expensive new watercolor stuff, so I know today will be the last time I ever use it. So that's fun.